Hi, and welcome to Health Advice for Women with me, Danny Adikum. Danny.
My name is Sherry Edwards, and I am a sports performance nutrition coach. I specifically work with masters athletes over 40s to help them increase performance and drop any unwanted body fat. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Say you help people in terms of their body fat. What exactly do you do to help them succeed?
So about 10% of the work that I do is the nutrition science. I mean, the nutrition science is basically how to eat, what to eat, when to eat for sports performance and obviously body recomposition. But 90% of the stuff I do is the habit work. And that essentially is the bulk of how I get them to get the results, and keep them. So this means focusing on their relationship with food, their relationship with their bodies, truly understanding what their values are and aligning it with their values. So for example, somebody who has a goal that has no gravity. So for example, I just want to lose weight, right? Mm-hmm. If the goals don't have any true value and there's no gravity to it, you find that people often don't stick to those goals. So it's aligning those things. So for example, okay, well, why do you want to lose weight? Why is that important to you? Because I want to be healthier. Okay, well, is losing weight truly healthier as a healthier option for you? Because don't forget that a person's body weight has nothing to do with their true health. You can be lean and be healthy or unhealthy. You can have a higher body fat and be healthy or unhealthy. You know, the way a person looks just doesn't align with what you think health looks like. So then it's getting to the bottom of that and saying, okay, well, what does health truly mean to you? And that way we can align the habits together so that they can get closer to their goals.
When you said lean on unhealthy, and the reason I'm going to ask that is because I sort of like, I have people looking at me and saying, oh, you're so slim and everything else. But what they don't realize is that I have to work hard at this to ensure that I stay, not just that I stay slim or anything like that. But I also know people who are actually like naturally slim, and like you said, they still feel unhealthy, because one of my friends actually, she did a BMI test and she discovered that she was actually, you know, not overweight, but she was like surprised at what the result, because she thought, oh, you know, I'm slim and everything else, blah blah blah. That means I'm healthy, and it turns out that she's not healthy. So what would you say to people like that, and how can they sort of then go on into ensuring that they now start working towards being healthy?
Health is a very interesting word, because the definition of true health isn't just your physical health, it's your mental health, your well-being, environmental health, how you manage stress. It's so many different things. So when people say that person looks healthy, if they just look healthy on the outside, you've got to think, well, what is going on the inside as well, right? So a person could physically look healthy, but also be struggling with mental health. So there are so many different aspects to health. I always say this because it's so, so important that people understand that body fat does not determine a person's health status. It just doesn't. Just because you're slim, you know, I'm slim. And even at the slimmest I ever was, I really wasn't that healthy either, because I was too skinny. You know, my body fat was too low. And people tend to think, because this is social media and the culture that we live in now, where you see a person who has abs and a six pack and, you know, a beautiful physique, they tend to put that, the definition of that as healthy. Well, no, it's not, because a person's body fat for women can be anywhere from X percent to X percent. And it can be the same for men. So really to say that a person's healthy by just looking at someone's body fat isn't quite a fair, I'm going to say judgment, right? And then another thing I want to talk about was, you talked about BMI. It's interesting because BMI is still a pretty good way of judging how generally a healthy weight someone is. But at the same time, what it doesn't take into account is a person's body composition. And what I mean by that is the fat to muscle ratio. So let's just take a bodybuilder as an example. A bodybuilder can have very little body fat and a lot of muscle which then would make their BMI make them look as if they're obese, right? So the BMI, I always just say, don't focus too much on these different metrics, because yes, sometimes it can be a generalized way of looking at people and just putting them into different brackets and categories, because ultimately the NHS or whatever, you know, the health system that you live in, they need to be able to say this person is in a healthy range of body fat or not, or a healthy range of weight or not. So ultimately they need some sort of system, but it is not an accurate way to gauge someone's health. So I think that's really important to kind of point out.
Okay, all right, thank you so much for that. So I just wanted to like build on that when you now said about sort of not looking at the body fat and things like that. So what then would you sort of like say to people who are sort of like being judgmental and then looking at others and saying that they want to be, you said, I'm glad you mentioned social media as well. And I just want to kind of like, I just wanted to sort of like expand more on that, the whole thing about the social media thing, because obviously you yourself, I mean, as we were talking earlier before you came on, that I was looking at your social media, and how then do we kind of like then, you know, how can you tell who is kind of like just faking it? That's it. That's what I wanted to ask, really. Then kind of like then people having the mindset where they don't have to think like, oh, because this person is this way and this person is that way. How can people sort of like read their kind of condition themselves to think and also accept their bodies for what it is?
In terms of faking it, I don't know. And I think it's really important to just perhaps not judge and not see whether that person is putting out content and it is genuine or not, because ultimately there is no way you're ever going to know, because people will either be honest or they will not be, and you'll never know. But I think ultimately the answer is not about whether they are putting out incorrect information or not. Yes, I think 100% that people have, especially social media influencers that have lots of followers, celebrities and all that, they do have a responsibility to be as transparent as possible. But ultimately, it is up to us. It is up to us as individuals to understand internally what you value. So, and I have been in that situation myself, you know, like over the Easter holidays, for example, I'll see other moms on social media baking cakes and doing all these wonderful things with their kids. And I was struggling to manage my business and hang out with the kids and, you know, do the housework and this and that. And there's always going to be this feeling of shame and guilt that I am not as good enough as a person that is putting out pictures of these amazing cupcakes with their kids and look amazing for their age and are doing a million different things. It is really important that we separate that, because they're showing you a slice of their lives. Their lives do not look perfect like that all the time. And I think there is a movement now for social media influencers to be a little bit more transparent. So there's definitely that. But you can't force people to be transparent when they're not ready to be, because ultimately there's also their mental health that you have to consider. You know, some people are trying to put out positive stuff out because they don't want to bring out the mucky stuff. So you've got to respect that as well. But I think it is really important to recognize that, you know, notice a name is something that I talk about with my clients all the time. What are the triggers that you're noticing? So some before and after pictures, I used to use that on my marketing you know, strategies, and now I stopped, because I realized that before and after pictures of people who were overweight and then no longer overweight can be very triggering to people. So what you find triggering, notice a name, and if you can, just shut that out of your life. So I say all the time on social media, if you find someone that maybe 6 months ago they were encouraging you and they were motivational and you love them, but then all of a sudden now you find your life is not quite aligned with that and your goals no longer, those goals no longer carry weight for you, then let it go, right? If there's something that is triggering to you, let that go. But I think as people, it is ultimately our responsibility to try to notice and name these emotions and what triggers us, so that we can take care of our mental health and therefore our physical health as well.
All right, thank you so much for that. And yeah, actually, that's kind of like now led me to another question, where there are people out there probably listening, right, you know, to this podcast, and they've been struggling with their weight. And you have people who sort of like you rightly said, about some people who lose the weight and then they find themselves back again to maybe that same size again. And this is one of the things that I've said about this going up to this yo-yo diet and going on, you know, up and down, up and down. But with some people, there's nothing to do with yo-yo diets. It's just the fact that they have actually done the right thing by going through, you know, the, in a sensible way, going through the health lifestyle journey, but somehow they've kind of just gone down a slippery slope. So what would you say to people like that, and how can they then be able to get back up again and start to work towards the healthy lifestyle again?
Ultimately, it is to do with habits. And this is why, as I said, 90% of the work that I do is habits, because most people know that choosing brown rice, broccoli, and chicken breast, for example, is going to be a better option than pizza. Most people already understand that. Most people understand how to have a balanced view on food and what that means for their health. But most people tend to want the results immediately and now. And so you've got two things happening. You've got the immediate and now. I want to lose weight immediately this week, so I'm going to eat perfectly this week. And then because you've given up all of those things that you have, you know, the Oreos and the cookies and the donuts and all of those things, Friday comes around and you miss it so much, you start eating that one thing. And then that's it. You feel like you failed, you've fallen off the wagon. So you just eat everything and then you just binge and then you just kind of get on and off that diet. So ultimately the answer is being consistent. And it's not about finding the motivation, because motivation does not hang around. Nobody can stay motivated 100% of the time. And I don't care who you are. You know, you can be Tony Robbins. He doesn't stay motivated all the time. People see motivation comes in and out of your life, but it's the habits that you have to have ingrained to do these things. It's like, I don't necessarily want to brush my teeth every single day or go to work every single day or make my kids lunchbox and walk them to school. Some days I have days where I'm tired, but it is habitual and it is things that I prioritize that is a part of my daily life that I have to do. When you repeat these actions every single day and you align it with your final goals and you do it to the point where you don't have to think about it, then it doesn't matter whether you're not feeling motivated or not. You will put your shoes on and you'll go out for that daily walk, or you'll go out for that mile run or something, because it is so heavily a part of your ingrained habits. Habits can be good and habits can be bad. The good thing about habits is that they're unbreakable. They're not unbreakable, but they're really hard to break. So if you have a good habit, it's really hard to break because it just automatically happens. But if you have a bad habit, it's also difficult to break. So by replacing the bad or the habits that you don't want with better habits, you're going to have something that will hopefully stick around for weeks or months or potentially even years.
Okay. Well, that's really good. Thank you so much for that. So when you talk about habits, I just wanted to sort of like throw a question out there to you now. And that is, when people binge eat at the weekend, you know, you've done everything else. And I'm going to put my hand up. I do sometimes, you know, you just, should we feel guilty? You know, it's something that you don't do all the time. Just like, you know, you decide to, for me, I like crisp. So, you know, when I'm watching a box set or something, I'm like, oh gosh, you know what? I quite like to have a bag of crisps, but then the next day I do go back to my healthy style, you know, back to my healthy eating habits again, like you said. But for somebody else, I don't feel guilty. I used to, but I don't feel guilty. But for somebody else who's thinking about it, and maybe as we're talking now, they're craving something that is not exactly healthy, and they're thinking, what if I eat that and that's not good? And they're sort of like beating themselves, like, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to eat that. What would you say to people like that?
I would say, number one, you don't ever need to feel guilty. And number two, there is no such thing as good food and bad food. And I think that that is ultimately the issue that we are facing today in the society, is that you have so many people talking about food as it's good and it's bad. Food is literally just fuel for the body. Even things like heavily processed foods like McDonald's, it is still food. It might not be great for someone who has diabetes, but it is literally food. It might not be ideal for someone who's trying to reach specific goals, but it is still food, right? So, and kale or broccoli doesn't make it any more less evil or virtuous to other foods. And I think it's really important to understand that you have to take a balanced view on food. So if you're going to have a packet of crisps, why just have it on the weekend? Why not just randomly have it on the Monday? Because that is absolutely fine. It's fine to eat processed food within reason. And I always just say it's not about eliminating food groups. So it's not about eliminating processed food or fast foods at all. It's about introducing whole foods into your life. So if you love McDonald's, you love McDonald's. You don't have to give it up. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Just reintroduce more healthy foods around it so that you are getting a balanced diet and you are getting the micronutrients into your body. And I think Dr. Evelyn Tribble, who is one of the authors of Intuitive Eating, I think she said it perfectly. She said, unless you kill the chef, you don't have to feel guilty about eating anything. And I think it is incredibly important that we understand this, because that is at the very, very core of disordered eating behaviors. Because when we have our mindsets based on the fact that eating that packet of crisps is bad for me, they eat it, they feel bad, and they want to make themselves feel better. How do I feel better? Oh, I know, I'll eat it even more, because in the 5 minutes I'm eating it, I'll feel good. And then 10 minutes later, I'll feel bad. So you get this vicious cycle of binging, stopping, and that'll never leave until you change your mindset about what food means to you. Food is fuel for the body. And then we go back to aligning your true values to what is important to you and your goals. If you say, if I eat that whole packet of crisps and it tastes good and it makes me happy, great. But if I eat that whole packet of crisps and tomorrow is going to make me feel really yucky because it's just so heavily processed, maybe I won't eat it. But it's not about eating it, because it'll make me feel fat, and so I'm going to be ashamed of myself. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
So it's aligning your values with your goals and understanding that it's about choosing the foods that will make you feel, you know, better about the way you move or better about your energy, rather than how it will make you look, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely it makes sense. And I'm kind of glad that you said that, because when I mentioned the fact about the crisp and everything else, I'll eat it. And, you know, I look at the grams and I think, OK, I'm not going to go for the giant size bag of sensations, for example. No way.
Yeah.
Because I actually, like you said, I'm going to feel yucky the next day. I would definitely feel yucky. So I would sort of like go with something that is within sort of like minimalistic in a way. So don't overdo it, maybe 50 grams or something like that, but not overdoing it or anything like that. But I've also been known sometimes to go, oh, OK, I'll find it. You know, a bit of peanuts as well afterwards and things like that. But like you rightly said, it's a matter of sort of like not making a habit of it. So, and for me, that is key, I guess, that we don't make a habit of what's going on. But I also wanted to ask about, you know, in terms of exercising, how do sort of like, you know, what is too much exercise? What is too much in exercising, for example? Because obviously, having read up on sort of like about you and I know about fitness and things like that. How much is too much and what is too little?
Okay, so it depends on the person and it depends on their level of fitness. So obviously a fitter person is able to withstand more physical amount of work on the body than a person who is not fit. But not exercising at all is not going to be the answer. So I believe in one of the research, they said that people who train for, I might not be right about the exact numbers, but more than 5 days can still be potentially at risk for having injuries or falling ill because they're working too hard. And people who exercise any less than 1 day a week could also fall in the same category. But ultimately, the answer is how hard you're exercising relative to how you are able to recover. So if you are exercising really, really hard and you're like a super elite athlete, but you're recovering well, meaning you're sleeping and your nutrition is on par and everything is good, you're resting and you're getting your mobility done, that's absolutely fine. But if you're overtraining, meaning you're not eating well, you're not eating a balanced diet and you're not sleeping and you're constantly training over your injuries, this and that, then that is too much training, right? So although there isn't an exact guideline as to how much is too much and how little is too little, it depends on the actual person. But I think the key is to see how you're sleeping. If you're sleeping well, then perfect. What's your mood like? But what's your energy levels like? And then I think reintroducing a little bit more exercise each time and then seeing how you recover, maybe the following month you can up your weights a little bit, or you can move on the speed, you can increase the speed a little bit. Ultimately, you want to work in a way where your recovery is always going to be better or more than how hard you're pushing in the gym. Because if your recovery isn't good, then you're just going to be potentially damaging your body.
Yeah, that's very true. Thank you so much for that. But yeah, I actually don't have any more questions. And I think just, I guess what I could ask is that if you could give people top tips in terms of, you know, what would be your top tips and advice for, you know, on this, what I call the healthy lifestyle journey?
When it comes to nutrition, I would say stick with two really simple habits. If let's just say you want to be healthier and you want to maintain a healthy weight. Number one, I would say when you approach mealtime, approach it like an art. Eat slowly, taste the flavors, feel the textures, enjoy them. Don't just get to the end of the meal and be like, oh, I finished it. Like you weren't aware. Be super mindful. It's almost like meditation in a meal. So no distractions, no TV, no computers. And this is hard because I tend to eat when I'm because I'm like cramming everything in, but I do try to be really aware, right? So eat your meal slowly, enjoy it with your family, eat slowly, because the time that your brain and your stomach talk to each other and your brain realizes that there's enough nutrients in your body, there is a delay by almost 20 minutes. So if you smash your entire plate and you're eating it, that's why sometimes you get that delay of, oof, oh my goodness, I'm so full. That's what's happening. So to stop yourself from overeating, eat slow. And the other one is, this one's also an art. This takes a lot of practice. Eating to 80% full. And this is something that I do with my children. So they're always, they finish their meals and they're like, I think I'm 80% full. So eating to 80% full means, it's, some people are like, well, how do I know? It just takes practice. If you can eat your meal and you can drink a sip of water and stand up and not feel absolutely full, like you're bursting at the seams, perfect. Or if you finish your meal and you're like, oof, I've got to unbuckle my pants. And if you continuously do that, you are essentially, you're taking in more energy than you need to. If you're doing that for every meal and every day, that's basically how weight gain can happen. So just eat slow and eat to about 80% full so that you feel comfortable and you're not over consuming. And I think ultimately overall health, I think noticing and naming is a really good one as well. So this is a lot of mindset work, whatever that is, noticing and naming how you feel, noticing and naming how, what your emotions are like, right? Just like food. I say this all the time. There are no good emotions and bad emotions. Emotions are literally just emotions. They exist because they're trying to help us manage and navigate our way through life, right? Because most people think, we want to have a pain-free life. We want to have a suffer-free life. Mm-hmm. We want life to be beautiful all the time. The art in living, or the art of wellness, is learning to live life in those moments where they're not beautiful, where they're not perfect, and accepting it and acknowledging it for what it is. That is essentially life. I think if everyone could do that, I myself am really working on that. I think that people would be so much more happy.
Yeah. And you know what? I was just smiling when you said the whole thing about eating slowly, because I remember growing up, I was always the last person at the dining table, and my mom would be like, are you still here, you know, because I was so slow. And then, you know, as I grew older, I started eating really fast, and now I'm struggling to go back to eating slow again. I mean, sometimes I do take time to do that, but obviously we live in a very busy world, and you know, when everybody's going fast and everything else, but I guess it's like you said, it's habit, having to form those good habits and then being able to get there. And I'm getting there. I'm getting there slowly. Sometimes I do remind myself that, you know, slow down and really enjoy the food.
Yeah, it definitely takes practice. And you know, we're not going to be able to do it all the time, but as long as we do try to be aware, you know, maybe one meal a day or maybe a few meals per week or something, it definitely does help.
Yeah, definitely. So how can people reach you if they wanted to connect with you?
I can be found on Instagram, so at Munchies and Macros with an underscore in between the words, or www.munchiesandmacros.com.
Okay, thank you very much. And I also put that into the show notes as well and letting people know. But thank you so much for speaking to me today. It's been really interesting sort of hearing all of this. And I do hope that everyone that's listening has taken a lot out of this. And do please feel free to go and check out Sherry's Instagram account and her website. And until next time, I just want to say to everyone, take care of yourself, and be good to yourself as well. Okay. Thanks very much for listening. Bye.
Hi, and welcome to Healthy Vibes for Women with me, Dani. On today's podcast, I am joined by Sherry Edwards, and she talks about how you can create realistic goals and to achieve eating healthily. I hope you get lots of tips and advice from this episode. And as usual, please feel free to share this with your loved ones.